It is time once again for the radio voice of the Evangel Home in Fresno. Welcome to Heartline. Your host on Heartline, this guy right here holding the mic, Jim Tuck.
Thanks, Ken. We appreciate your efforts on our behalf here as we bring another edition of Heartline from Evangel Home of Fresno to the radio airwaves of Central California. Jerry Brenneman is here. We are in her office, and we have, a very special guest today. And she's a little nervous, and that's understandable. If you never had a microphone shoved in your face, it can be a little daunting and intimidating. But I know she'll be just fine. We want to hear her story. So, Jerry, let's make the introduction, and we'll talk.
And she's probably hoping that we'll just keep talking and that she'll never see this end of the microphone. Jessica is with us today. Jessica lives in the Garden, and that's our alternative sentencing program. Right now, she is one of only two women down there, and that's unusual. We usually have six, but a couple left. One was dismissed. One graduated. And that leaves two. Now, there are some more scheduled to come in soon, but right now we just have the two. And I think they probably kind of like it. They each have their own room. That won't last too much longer. But Jessica has made, I think, some real significant adjustments in the 3 months she's been here. And one of them I hope she can share with us. I remember the first couple of days she was ready to run. And somehow she fought through that. I don't know how she did it. I don't know where she was with God at that time. I don't know if someone talked to her. I can't wait to find out what changed her mind. And also, is that feeling gone? I mean, she's been here 3 months. That seemed like an eternity to her, just 90 days ago. And 6 months, she'll be graduating. So I look forward to her take on that whole thing.
All right. Well, Jessica, first of all, welcome. Take a deep breath. You okay?
Yeah.
Okay. If you don't mind, I want to back up. You've been here 3 months. You're here on an alternative sentencing program. So obviously something got crosswise with the law. Would you mind sharing with us what that was?
Actually, I am not. I brought myself here.
Okay.
That's even better.
That really is, because that's a commitment to change right from the top, and that's a great thing. So something needed changing. Did you have a background that for some poor choices were involved?
I was addicted to meth for 6 years, and I just knew that I needed to change, and I needed something higher.
You needed something besides you.
Yeah.
You
needed some help.
Yeah.
May I ask how that got started? Do you fall in with the wrong crowd, or what started down that path?
Yeah, I did. I fell into the wrong crowd, and as most people think that they're only going to try it one time and then not knowing that it's going to lead into a life.
Mm-hmm. So. You know, Jessica, I don't think most people really understand how, we hear the word addiction and addictive so much that it rolls off our back in a way. It is really such a trap, and it really grabs you, doesn't it? I don't know, we read what a terrible addiction and a terrible plague right now that meth is. Mm-hmm. You read in the papers about people making meth and burning places down and killing children because things explode. And we get furious because it seems so evil and so stupid at the minimum. How can you do that? And Jessica, tell us how you can do that. What happens?
Because once the drugs get into your system and you become addicted to it, then it overpowers you. And it is the disease that it wins over, your whole life.
Just owns you.
Yeah. And it got to a point, I didn't want to. I'd be, sitting on the bed, and I'd be crying, bawling my eyes out and not wanting to, take another hit. But I'd do it because I had to. I didn't have anything else, and there was times it got so bad, I was contemplating suicide, but that's why I brought myself here.
How old are you?
22.
So you started when you were about 16?
Yes.
Jerry, you had a question?
No, it just amazes me again for her to be able to even sit here and tell her story at 22, to be able to be that vulnerable in a way. And it just, I admire her for being able to get this far. And again, Jim, I think all the questions I have would be the same that everybody has. What happens? And I think meth becomes your value system too. Mm-hmm. You know, you and I and Jessica at this moment know right from wrong. We know that if we see a person on the street, we really don't want to hurt them unless we're on meth and that person mm-hmm. has something we want. Then the meth does take over and does own you, and you begin to see everything and everybody as a tool for you to feed that habit. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, with meth, is probably as bad as any drug we've ever had.
Yes. Would you agree?
Yes, I would. Actually, I think meth, I think the withdrawals and stuff from meth, because you don't physically feel like as bad as you do with heroin and stuff, and so I think that it's harder to quit than heroin, actually, because I mean you're not physically sick and so it just pulls you back because you think, oh, I can handle it.
So at some point you just reached the end and said, that's it, I'm done, I have to have help. What were your thoughts at that point? Had you heard of Evangel Home, or where did you go when you started to say, I got to have help? We don't talk about other programs.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I got referred here.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you called and asked for an opening, explained who you were and what you needed?
Yeah. And I talked to Patty, and she told me to come in for an interview, and then once I came in, well, it was a week later that I had the interview, and she did my intake, and she told me that the next day I could move in.
Now, what did you expect when you called here? What did you expect, and how was it different from the reality?
I knew it was faith-based, but, I mean, I didn't know it was that intense. And as soon as I got here, I was just like, whoa. And it was really intense. And I wanted to leave. Probably almost the first month, I was just
you
like,
you mean the first day you wanted
well,
to
leave? Yeah, no, but the first day. And like, I mean, it was bad for, especially for the first couple of weeks. It was like, I was out the door almost like every day. But no, slowly it became better. And I mean, as much like still now, I'll still fight about some stuff. But I mean, this is where I want to be, and this is what I want to be doing.
So do you feel like that accountability is just part of the deal? You got to have that?
Yeah, I do. With the other girls that have been in the garden and recently and then just left, they didn't have that, like, this is what I want to do, this is where I want to be.
The outside was still too much of a draw.
Yeah, they weren't committed enough to change.
Yes.
Yeah. Jessica, do you, when you talk about the faith part being so intense, because I like to say we're not here beating people over the head with the Bible when they come in the door. So, of course, I'm not seeing it quite as intense as you are. What was it? Because I know that scares some people right out the door. Mm-hmm. What was it that was so uncomfortable for you?
Because, well, I had never – when I was little, like, we would go to church every Sunday. But, I mean, that stopped when I was about 7 years old. And so from not going to church and not, like, really having any – religion or anything, and then coming here and having chapel twice a day, and then through the classes and everything, it was just like I felt like it was really thrown in my face. But I mean, now I understand and I'm grateful for it.
That's awesome. I think it's really neat to explore why faith scares some people or why it makes them uncomfortable. I think we can all learn from that.
So did you have any expectations when you arrived here? Were you expecting what you got physically in terms of the home environment that you found?
I mean, it's really awesome. And I actually was, I mean, I really did think that I was going to leave and that I was really going to leave, that they weren't going to get me to stay. But, I mean, I'm glad I did.
What was the breakthrough that made you stay?
Great question.
I don't know. I think, well, Rosalind, one of the staff, she's helped me a lot. And, I mean, and then one day when I, like, came, I walked over here to the crisis and Cynthia opened the door and she just sat me down and she talked to me about everything. And I mean, I'm having really good conversations with Cynthia about like the Bible and stuff. And so she's really helped me too.
Yeah, sweet sister. Where do you see yourself? Let me back up. 3 months. So you've had some class time.
Yeah.
Is there one class that's been most helpful for you? Perhaps one or two.
Probably the, let's see, probably self-esteem class. Because, I mean, I think about that for all of us, you know, like with struggling with addiction and stuff, that our self-esteem is really not the best, you know. And so I think that class is really helpful.
Well, kudos to you. I mean, to come to the point in your life where you actually step out and say, I am going to find a way to change. Yeah. Nothing changes until that happens. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've seen women in their 40s and 50s.
And I'm thinking at 22, I don't know about you, but I thought I knew everything. Yeah. That there was nothing I needed to change. The world needed to change. I didn't need to change. For Jessica to say, hey, this isn't working, I need to do something. That's a huge, mature wonderful thing. Boy, if she can keep things together at this age now, this is a nonstop watch out world young woman.
Yeah, especially at this age, the potential to have an impact on the world around her is, you know, extraordinary. But, you know, you got to stay the course. It's not
absolutely
time to walk out yet.
No,
and I know you understand that.
I know I'm not ready yet. I mean, eventually, one day I'll get there, but I know that this is the best place for me, and so I'm staying as long as I need to.
Good. Atta girl. Congratulations. Jerry, we got 15 seconds.
Goodbye.
Yeah. So thank you for being here. And our listening friends, as always, we really ask for your prayers. That is so foundational to what goes on here. Your prayer support is ground zero. If God lays it on your heart to help out financially, of course, those gifts are appreciated. And in terms of household goods, everything you use at your house, we need a whole bunch of it here, from turkeys to toilet paper, paper products especially. So, and if you have any questions about how to help, give us a call, 264-4714. Jessica, thank you. Listening friend, thank you for joining us. And we look forward, Lord willing, to our next edition of Heartline from Evangel Home of Fresno.
The Evangel Home of Fresno can be found on the World Wide Web at evangelhome.org, by phone in the 559 area code 264-4714. Thanks for joining us for this week's edition of Heartline, the radio voice of the Evangel Home in Fresno, ministering to women and children in crisis since 1955.